Ever since she was in college, Jennifer Cohen dreamed of living in Russia, and eventually she got there. She landed a job at the Moscow Bureau of an American TV network. Cohen was looking for romance, the perfect job, as well as the man of her dreams, but things didn't quite turn out that way. As she writes in a memoir called Lying Together, Anne Strainchamps wondered if Cohen knew what she was getting into.
Your book opens with you on a plane, flying to St. Petersburg to meet the man that you were already calling your fiancé, but whom you actually hadn't laid eyes on in 6 years. Are you usually this much of a risk taker?
Well, not usually anymore. Let's say I learned some lessons, but I was at the time. I was very caught up in this idea that my life was going to be filled with whirlwind excitement, and that was both professional and personal. And in a lot of ways, my choice in my career had to do with that impulse to be able to jump on planes and chase down stories or, chase down men, as the case was in the beginning of this book.
So. Oh, tell me what was going on with your life then that got you on that plane to Russia.
Sure. Well, this is back in 1998, and backing up a bit, I had been working in television at different networks, different shows up until this point, and I was actually freelancing for the investigative unit of a syndicated news program. And the story about the trafficking of sex slaves from the former Soviet Union fell into my lap, and it wasn't the typical fodder for a syndicated tabloid television news magazine, but I was able to sell the idea of the story because this man that I was interested in Russia told me that he actually had a receipt that implicated a member of the Clinton administration with the purchasing of women. And because that was when the Lewinsky scandal broke, my boss said, okay, you can pursue the trafficking story if you're pursuing the other one as well. Well, the other one was a complete lie, but I was able to continue pursuing the trafficking story.
But so you've got two very hot, semi-salacious stories that you're pursuing as a journalist. But back up for a minute to the guy that you were interested in. You had barely met him, right?
Right. I had a class with him. It was an independent study, so it was just the two of us. And it was the end of college. It's very romantic. You're all thinking about your future. And, we would drink with our professor and we would talk really, have really deep conversations about Russian literature. And we felt very important. And so I think looking back 6 years, I had in my mind built up this man who I thought was somehow deeper and more passionate and sort of more exciting than any human being probably could be. And so the personal romance and the romantic vision I had of my career were very much intertwined.
Well, and the man you were interested in, Kevin, was his name. He was a journalist too, right? And so he gave you this first tip. And then when you first moved to Russia, the two of you were involved in investigating stories about Russian prostitutes and sex slavery together.
Our first date is actually at a strip bar. And then we go off and we interview some women who have had some experience with the sex trade. And I think that very much sort of set the stage for our relationship. It started out by pursuing a very, very salacious, exciting, dangerous story.
Tell me something about what Russia was like at the time. And the portrait you paint in the book is of a culture that's just on the edge of complete chaos. Is that really what it was like?
Well, I wake up every morning when I lived there and thought, wow, what crazy adventure am I going to have today? And in one evening, I was walking down the street with a bunch of friends, and we saw a gang shootout literally across the street from us. This was, mind you, things have changed since then. This was 1998, when things were perhaps a bit more chaotic.
What did you think of the quality of the network news coverage? I mean, you wound up working there for one of the network news bureaus.
Right.
What did you think of the kind of journalism that was practiced there?
Well, it's a hard question to answer in some ways, partly because, I still work at the networks. But I think that the networks as a whole, we do a good job of covering crises. When stories break, we are able to be there and tell the news, tell the headlines. We're good at crises. We're not so good at nuance. And one of the things that I found very disturbing when I finally landed at this, dream job was that the year before I got there, because there were no what we perceived as major breaking stories coming out of Russia, their evening newscast hadn't produced one single feature or package on their evening newscast the year before I got there, because there was nothing that they saw as, earth-shattering or something. It wasn't on the cover of the New York Times day after day after day. The correspondents I worked with didn't speak Russian, and I would be their translator. And while my Russian was good, it wasn't perfect. And I think it's sort of a tragedy. There are so many very good journalists who do speak the languages of the countries that they're covering, but they're not necessarily the people who are getting on the air or getting the front page stories. And it makes a difference.
It sounds like such a nuance for your relationship at the time also. You know, the focus on big, exciting things, except in the process, you kind of missed some of the nuances.
It's very easy to get wrapped up in romance, romance being an exciting relationship or an exciting job. Growing up my age, I'm 35 now, but when I was in my 20s, I think, like a lot of my friends, we wanted our knight in shining armor, both in terms of the person we were going to wind up with, but also in terms of, you know, the perfect job falling in our lap. And the idea that you actually had to struggle and work for something and really make it happen wasn't something I was quite willing to accept.
What was your first sign that all was not as it should be with your fiancé, with Kevin?
Well, the first sign was when I tripped over a bag and discovered an empty vodka bottle in it. He was an alcoholic and had told me he wasn't drinking. But at the time, we had just signed a lease on our apartment in Moscow. I had already quit my job in New York and sublet my apartment, and I was all set to move. And I felt like it was too late to turn back. And so I sort of shrugged it off. I shouldn't have, but I did. And pretty quickly, upon actually moving to Moscow and moving into our apartment, it lost control. Our relationship lost control. He lost control.
How bad did things get?
There were two very, very horrible moments for me. One was when we were in St. Petersburg picking up the remains of his stuff from his apartment there. And his friends did an intervention and told me, you don't realize this, but behind your back, he's drinking, he's doing drugs. You need to do something about it. And they had already set up a program for him in Helsinki and sort of sent us packing to Helsinki, basically. And before we left that evening, Kevin wound up attempting suicide. I saw it. You know, he tried to slash his wrists in front of me. It was a very, very upsetting moment in my life. But I still stuck with him. I still had this feeling that I was somehow supposed to see this through, and it was therefore my responsibility to make sure that he got better. And I tried to, and we got back to Moscow finally. And at around this time was when the stories that we were covering started to heat up a lot. And, you know, what do you know? It is on the cover of the New York Times. Therefore, the networks want to cover it. So my career started to get very, very exciting for me. And at the same time, my fiancé started to really unravel. And ultimately, one night, he attacked me and basically chased me out of the apartment. Suddenly, there I was, living in this really horrible apartment next to the Moscow Zoo. And I spent the last couple of months, few months in Russia, trying to figure out what these fantasies all meant. Did I really want this job? Did I really want to live in this country? Did I want to try to make this relationship work?
You call the book Lying Together, and that title works on so many different levels. But is after your relationship had fallen apart and you were miserable, is that when you began to unravel the lies and to think about all the things you and Kevin had said to each other that weren't true?
Absolutely. I think that it was actually this great gift to me that things did get so bad that I had to send him away, because by having him not there, I had to face it. I had to look at what had happened and figure out what the truths were. And it was a very hard time, but at the same time, it was also a pretty exciting time. I mean, I wound up writing things that I might not have otherwise. There's this whole section of the book where I talk about some articles I wrote for Maxim magazine and how I was dancing on bars and, you know, sort of behaving in ways that I might not at home and didn't when I came home. But I think it was very important for me to have that moment in my life where I could just sort of shed all of the preconceived ideas that I had about how I had to live my life and what I was expecting from my life.
Is there any part of you that finds it odd or ironic that two journalists, people whose jobs were about uncovering the truth, should have constructed a relationship so founded on untruths?
That's a very good question. You know, no, actually, because I think so many journalists I know would have gotten into similar relationships. A lot of journalists that I know are adrenaline junkies, and it's not to say they're not great journalists. Some of them are, but we chase excitement. We chase it romantically. We chase it professionally. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Jennifer, thank you so much for talking today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Jennifer Cohen now works at CBS News, and she's married, though not to Kevin. There's one other thing she told Anne. She learned from her Russian ordeal that her career isn't everything, that she had to separate her work from her relationships and friendships. Jennifer Cohen's memoir is called Lying Together, My Russian Affair.